Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 62 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Drawing Presence. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this day that you've made. We thank you, for God, for your grace and your mercy and for your the opportunity that we have to be here with you, O God. Give us the power of your Spirit, is our prayer, O God, and to have the power of your Spirit and your presence with understanding. And we ask and pray, O God, you give us all ears to hear what you're wanting to say to us, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Lesson 62 in the Scribe, Understanding and Unlocking the Prophetic. I hope everyone is learning a little something as we're moving forward in understanding the prophetic. It is I hope to share with you this morning. I hope you can catch what I'm trying to share this morning. It'll be off of last week. Last week I spoke on pain and how pain was necessary to open and to move in the spirit, and how we change atmospheres when you're in pain of any type, emotional or physical, or psychological. That pain moves you. And the first thing we try to do is get away from it. But what we need to do is get through it. It's a different concept. If we try to get away from something, it tends to last longer than if we just get through it. And so in the Spirit, it gives us these concepts, these revelations of how we get through things. We see in the Scriptures, it says that we should have faith of a mustard seed, that we can move mountains. We can look at that particular Scripture, and that's way, another way to look at it is, from a prophetic viewpoint, is to see that mountain that's in front of us. All of a sudden, it turns somewhat invisible, because we walk straight through it as though it's not even there. That's the concept. That's the idea of the Spirit that God is trying to share with us. He's given us physical things because we approach the Scriptures from a prophetic point of view. We realize that these things, for the most part, are symbolic. So since it's symbolic and we have faith, we can walk through these mountains as though they're not even there. Now keep that just a little thing in mind as we're moving forward this morning. I want to share a few ideas with you where we're headed in the Scriptures. We've been speaking about, and I don't have a clicker. I bet I don't have it turned on. I forgot, you got to turn this one on. I do have a clicker. Revelation, I just walked through a mountain. Shifting atmospheres. This is I can't tell you how important that it is in life to realize you have the ability, I'm going to say, to shift atmospheres on the best case scenario. Worst case scenario, you can influence atmospheres. When it comes on a world stage, we can influence it. There hasn't been but one person who changed the world stage, and his name was Jesus. But we know through the presence of Christ that we are influencers in any type of atmosphere that we're involved in. So that is very, very tremendously, I just cannot emphasize enough how important that it is for us to understand that we are in the business of changing atmospheres. Now, what good would it do to heal someone, help someone, and put them right back in the same atmosphere, for them just to return right where they came from? So as a prophetic people, we want to consider this fact of changing atmosphere of the home, of the workplace, of a church. Did you know you can come in with your criticism and change the atmosphere of this Sunday? Did you know just one person can do that? It doesn't take 10 or 12. Did you know that one person can come in and change it for the good? One person can come in praising God. Both, one thing about an atmosphere tends to be contagious. So it doesn't take but a seed. Has anybody ever heard of the butterfly effect? Butterfly effect is saying that a butterfly could flap its wings in Australia and cause a hurricane in Africa. What that means is it just flaps a little bit of wind and it gets it started. And so the butterfly effect in life is considered this happens and then this happens because of that happened, this happened, this happened, this happens. So when we start realizing that all of our actions and reactions are a butterfly effect and it affects something or somebody, it affects atmosphere for sure. And as a prophetic people, that's something that's unbelievable. And I wish you could really receive what I'm trying to say on how your actions and reactions affect atmosphere. And then the atmosphere affects what you're seeing and hearing. If you change an atmosphere, you can be at work, and the atmosphere at work could be chaos. This motor blew up, this happened, that happened, a person ran into the shelving with a forklift and turned over one shelf and it hit another shelf and then all of a sudden the domino butterfly effect started happening. It's in total chaos. You could walk into your office or into your place of working and everybody there would be a little short. They'd be a little, well, I knew he was going to do that. I saw him 2 weeks ago. And all of a sudden the whole atmosphere changes. And so how you're seeing everything around you is based on the atmosphere in which you're in. As a prophetic people and as a spiritual people, even when we come in here on Sunday morning, setting up the atmosphere is tremendously important. That's the reason I like to have the first teaching. To me, this one's the one I like. It sets up the atmosphere for the service. So keep that in mind as we move forward right quickly. We're wanting to shift them. And I started teaching you last week how pain is required. And this week, I'm adding to it saying pain and suffering are required for glory. I can tell you're very excited about this topic. Hold the applause till the end, please. But pain and suffering are required for glory. Now, it's not as bad as it. Oh, that was a lie. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. I got checked by the Holy Ghost on that one. So moving right along. Oh, shoot, I didn't make my pictures big enough. Can anybody tell what that is? There's some people standing in the water with a rope. Anybody tell what that is? Boy, I needed to make my pictures a lot bigger. It's, huh? Thailand guys in the cave. Did anybody kind of keep up with that story as it was going on? You know, they were in a cave and then they found them. They were back in this, they were way back in this cave and they were lost and, you know, taking on some sickness, illness. In the beginning, they gave the reports how well they had done. Now that they're out, they're saying psychologically they had to send a doctor back in there. Because they were falling apart out of fear. You know, it was pretty much total chaos. It did have a happy ending, but they had to work at it pretty good. Right there's kind of the map of, if you can see, all the way to the right is the entrance. You can see there was one, two, three bodies of deep water. That's the cave. That was their journey. And it was 2.5 miles, I think, to the back, or 2 miles maybe. Is how far back in that cave this soccer team was and their coach. And they had to then go underwater. They had scuba divers. Did y'all see? I don't have to explain most of this, I don't think. Had scuba divers came from all over the world. Can you imagine that? Had all of these volunteer. But now these scuba divers were, they had the Navy SEAL there of Thailand, I think it was. They had them there, but they were one died coming out, and so that's when they put out a call for there's a difference in being a diver and a cave diver. Two different worlds there. I didn't know this until I read it and saw it, but the cave divers operate under a totally different mentality. They've been trained differently than just a Navy SEAL. You think a Navy SEAL's top of the line. But these cave divers had all together different maneuvers, different precautions, and different things that they knew about. Now, it just so happens that one of the little problems they had was the world's not full of professional cave divers. That's not something that people go to college for and they graduate. So they just had to rely on the hearts of men that when they put it out, those that felt called to come into it that they could handle it would come. And so that's what they did, and I forget the number of actual cave. They had 150 in the whole deal, but it seemed like it was like 15 or 18 professional cave divers. It took actually 3 hours to go from the beginning to the end. To make one trip in took between 2.5 and 3 hours. Is it, to put that in perspective of what was going on. So you can see that as a 2.5, 3 hour going in underwater, out of water, having to coordinate this thing was quite a feat. Now, right here, this shows you something. This is how they actually brought them out. They had a diver in the front, and he had the air tank to the young man, the boy, that was holding on to the lead diver there. You see that? Then there was another diver behind him that always kept his hand on his back. And the reason they did that is so that they would hold down the fear that he was having. The biggest problem they were looking for was for the kid to panic, because they still had just a face mask on, and they could knock the face mask off or whatever. So as I was reading, researching this thing, they were going through that their biggest number one on the chart of these cave divers, their number one problem was that fear would hit them and they'd knock their face mask off. They'd panic. So believe it or not, in this terrible situation that they were in, their number one problem was panic. So now the kid that they were bringing out, the soccer kid there, he had a rope tied to the lead guy. And that lead guy was leading him through this dangerous cave to get him out through all the obstacles. At one place, one reason they had to put the tank in front of him was because a lot of the passages were so narrow, they couldn't get through with the tank on their back. Now, I'm claustrophobic just telling you about it, much less put me in there. Talking about panic, they wouldn't have got me to panic. I'd have died way before panic hit. So they pulled him on through there, but the front guy had the livelihood of the kid that he's bringing out. The thing that the kid had to do was agree with the front diver, hang on to the rope that he had, knowing that the lead guy was carrying this oxygen, which was his very life. Now, these kids had a problem. They were in pain and they had a problem. Now, this pain and problem drew presence of the cave divers. Are you with me? So problems drew presence. Are you with me? Not only did it draw presence, it drew the presence of the most qualified people on the planet. Why? Because they were the only ones that had the answer to their pain and problem. The only thing that the kids had to do was to listen to everything that they said. As they listened to everything that they said, knowing that the diver was holding their very life in their hands, they could lead them out of the place of pain and problems. So I want you to understand, as a prophetic people, and to hear what I'm saying, pain and problems, I've heard people say, well, Alan, I want the presence of God. Okay. Anybody getting it yet? I want the presence of God. Okay. God is drawn to your problems. Oh. God is drawn. His Spirit is drawn. God is not drawn by preaching or by worship. Now, don't fight me on this one, because I'll stand with you toe to toe. How many years have we been trying to get the preaching just right? And how many years have we been trying to get the worship just right? Well, if you'll do this song, the presence of God will show up. I hope I don't explain to you, or have to explain to you, how immature that sounds. We worship God because of what He has done for us. Worship and preaching, we can't get in here and worship just right and the presence of God show up. We had a good service last Sunday, right in the worship, I could feel it. Well, God doesn't show up because of the worship. God shows up because of the problems and the needs. We're thankful through worship. Don't mistake it. Don't think your worship's going to draw Him. God, y'all have heard me say it, God is not King Kong waiting to come into the room for a beautiful woman or a beautiful worship song. Or He's not coming in the room because you lived your life just right this week. Is anybody with me? Take this as it could be my last message, because I'm going to tell you the truth. I just can't stand it any longer, people thinking that their worship, their preaching, anything that we're doing invokes the presence of God. Because it doesn't. Doesn't one thing, but one thing draw God. It's the need of mankind. If I've ever told you the truth, you just heard it. God's presence is drawn by the needs of people. You want God to show up in this place? I need a bunch of needy people in here. We need a bunch of people with a bunch of needs, a bunch of hurting and a bunch of pain and a bunch of problems, and He'll send His Holy Spirit, which is a cave diver, and He'll come in here and He'll touch us all. But He comes, He's drawn to your problems, not your perfection. Send us problems and you'll see presence. Now, this is just my introduction. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
Now, problems equals presence. And you can think, you can sit there and think that I'm not telling you the truth. But the more perfection that you think you are, the less presence of God you'll have. Now, I'm not saying you go out here and sin to have the presence of God. Trust me, I already know there's enough of it built into us. We don't have to help it. But what we do is we bring God the truth. He's not looking for somebody with a PhD of perfection or somebody that has the most beautiful voice that's at their height of their profession. And if I could just hear them sing that song one more time. And God will show up. If you'll allow me to say it with all reverence, it makes me want to puke. That's right. I felt more of the presence of God with somebody coming up, can't carry a tune in a bucket, and they say, God wants me to sing His song. And they sing, and you couldn't understand the tune. But they're doing it with all their heart, and their tears just flowing down their face. And they're singing about what God done for them. You can feel the presence of God all over. Why? God doesn't come for perfection. He comes for your problems and your needs. Everybody with me? Please be with me. My face is getting hot so I can move on. God can't pick you up unless you're down. God's presence is in the room if He's picking you up. Does anybody understand that? He cannot give you strength unless you're weak. Anybody got that? He cannot save you until you're lost. He cannot fill you until you're empty. We're asking and looking for God to go from invisible to tangible. From invisible, invisible means, it's a definition of that is omnipresent. Y'all have heard of that, which means present in all places at all times. And you've heard me say this also, if God's anywhere, He's everywhere. So you can't say that God's come because God's here. He is what we call omnipresent. God's everywhere all the time. But we have what we call manifest presence. And manifest presence is when God is in the building. In other words, sometime or another, we like to see God go from omnipresent to manifest presence. In other words, we like for God to shake a chair or do something, God, right? God, come from where we can't see you to where we can see you. Is there some way you can, we know you're here, God, but can we see that you're here, God? And I've just shared to you the secret of God going from omnipresent to manifest present is God's omnipresence is everywhere, but when you bring Him your problems and your need, you'll start seeing the manifest presence. Heard a lot of people say, I'm not going to that church. They got all these bad people down there. Well, the only thing I can tell you, probably got the presence. You bring your problems, God will bring His presence. And if we're under this idea, we're trying to all be these super Christians where we don't sin, we're just right. And I'm not saying we don't try to do right. We do. But you know what I'm saying. I don't have to qualify all this, do I? If you can understand whatever needs you've got, God's not seeing you or me as somebody that has fallen or failed this week. Ed said something to me this morning, and I'm going to try to put it in a sentence here. You have something that God doesn't have. That's a need. God doesn't have any. But you do. God knows that. He's drawn to it. Anybody hearing what I got to say? He is drawn to it. As leaders, we draw up with, oh, these people are coming with all these problems. Well, if I get rid of this one, if I get rid of that, and if that one would go home with this and do that, if we get rid of all these problems, we could have church and God show up. Now, what kind of theology is that? If you as a Christian are challenged because someone's not a Christian that comes in here and it shakes you, you need more Bible study. The love of God in you, the presence of God in this place should be so strong that it wouldn't last them over about 2 hours and they would leave from here filled, strong, and full of the Holy Ghost of God. Our mandate, our call, is to call in every problem Alexander County has. I can see the elders and Trevor drawing up as I speak. But it's the truth. If you want the presence of God, our preaching and our worship not going to draw you, but your problems will. Now you start understanding why testimony is so powerful. It's so powerful. Because you stand up and you tell what God did for your problem or your need. That's the empowered testimony. I hate to inform you, but God's not impressed with your talent. He doesn't come for a talent show. He comes because he's assuming those that are here has needs. Then when the preacher makes a call, we got prayer pods, we got everybody, but nobody's got a need. Well, ain't nothing going on in the prayer pods today. Duh. Wonder why. Nobody's honest enough to say, I've got a need and I want God to meet it. And when you're that honest and allow God the opportunity to meet it, His presence is going to show up in this place. We shouldn't have to go home till 6, 7 o'clock Sunday night at the earliest. Because we start praying for people right after the service. We'll call in for pizza. You'll not starve. I just want you to catch this morning prophetically what I'm trying to lead you in. I've been teaching you about pain last week, this week's pain and suffering. But I'm trying to give you the understanding why. It's because it draws the presence of God. We want God. Is everybody in here want God? Right, we say we want God, but we don't need Him. Does anybody get that? We say we want Him, but we don't need Him. Well, Alan, I'll tell God I need Him. No, yeah. You're not desperate. You got to understand, to want God doesn't impress Him. To need Him does. All right, is everybody with me a little bit? Your life is about your life with the end in mind. God has your end in mind more than your present situation. So He realizes your needs and your problems. You'll draw Him to your needs and you'll draw Him to your problems, and He will deal with them with your end in mind. That's a place we can be safe and we can be secure. Things around you are to develop your life, which is God helping you to your end. For the pain and the suffering. Now here, we'll go back to this. We reach in the remembering for the power that is needed for the now. I'm hoping you'll understand why I said this a month ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's when you reach back into the remember, you remember your need. And when you reach back in that remembering, you remember your need and what God did on your behalf in that need. And when you remember that need, through remembering that need, that past need is used in the now to draw His presence again. God is drawn to needs and problems. He's not called to your perfection. He'll step over it to get to somebody's problem. You'll say, well, God's passing me by, and I'm more spiritual than they are. Well, God just forgive you and your pride when you think you're spiritually better than anybody. You're not understanding your need. You're not understanding how this thing works in the Spirit. I just spit all over myself. I think I need a napkin here. I always did fuss about these hacking preachers now, how they spit and carry on, and I was right on the verge. I better stand back behind the podium. You reach back in the remembering where your need was. You pay forward that need. You remember that need and you say, I'm in need now. And it's that need that brings God from His omnipresence into His manifest presence. I'll give you some examples. I want to compare this where we are right now, bring back into it the seed, the next stage of growth to the sprouting seed. You know, we talked about the seeds in the ground. Last week I talked about how this seed had to go through a lot of pain and pressure to break out of its shell that it might grow, right? But it's still in darkness. It's under the soil. And it's reaching up for something. It doesn't know what it's reaching for. It's just reaching to come out of the soil. But this next stage of growth is challenging and full of pain and suffering. Pain and suffering is net. Oh, I got ahead of myself. I knew I do that every now and then. I get my slides out of order. It's all right, though. All right. The seed had its pain and its suffering. The seed is going to be and is at the beginning stages of being something that's great. It's going to be a corn plant. And I gave you this picture last week. The pain and suffering is necessary for greatness. Jesus went through the greatest pain. Now, He suffered in His body. But can you imagine, do you imagine how much pain you have for your sin? What about if you had the sin of the world on you? I mean, who in the world can go there? But if you believe your Bible, it says that He carried the pain and the suffering of the world. That's what Jesus carried. So any day that you wake up and you feel like you're Jesus, you need to reconsider of the pain and suffering you have to go through. But anyway, pain and suffering is necessary for this greatness. As seed as it is sprouting, the pain is necessary for its greatness. Listen, when a corn plant comes, I just sit there and look at it. Like, I just can't believe that corn sprouts. It shoots up through. How in the world does all that happen? You must pass through. If you push through, you will reach your goal, for His presence is with you. Now, I want you to start catching where I'm going with this thing. The grain of seed or corn, it pushes through. It has a goal to get through that ground. It's not really sure what its end is. It just knows that it has one. Now, what makes, you got to get this. What, it's very simple, but you got to get it. What makes that grain of corn sprout? It can't do that by itself. The presence of God is with every grain of corn that sprouts. Does anybody get it? I'm telling you the truth. They don't know why it sprouts. As smart as mankind is, they can't figure out why in the world it sprouts. Can't figure out how in the world you grow a baby. Can't. The spark of life comes always from the presence of God. If you want to know if the presence of God is involved, it's because there's life involved. Now we're ready to go. You will become the best you can ever be when the presence of God is with you and you're sprouting and growing into full life. Understand, the potential is in you to be the best you could ever be. Why? Because the presence of God is what's putting the life in you to get up and get out. Now, pain and suffering will take you to the next level. Discussed that just a little last week. Pain and suffering will take you to the next level. But pain and suffering is not permanent, but the next level is. Once we push through each place of pain and suffering, you got to understand, I told you last week, you can't. Quitting is not an option. It's just a suggestion from the enemy. Right? He could suggest for me to go to the moon. I'm like, that's ridiculous. Well, quitting's not an option. That's just as ridiculous. How can you quit when the presence of God's with you? here's what I'm not trying to talk you into something. I'm just trying to make you aware the presence of God's with you. You think quitting and starting and leaving's up to you. You're making your life miserable by God making you live, and you're wanting to die. Does anybody hear that? It's a conflict of spiritual interest. There's a tug of war, and you think it's the devil, and you're fighting with God, and God's trying to get you to grow, and you won't grow. You won't move on to your expected end, to the blessings. The pain and suffering will make you bigger than your past, for His presence is with you. The good thing about growing, moving forward, sprouting, living, presence of God, is we're leaving our past. In the Spirit, what causes you to leave your past is because you're going to your future. You don't stay in your past and say, okay, I'm not in my past no more. Duh. Yes, you are. You now have the ability to move out of it. For alcoholics, drug addicts say, this is extreme perhaps, but it's still the same truth. Okay, I've been prayed for, God set me free. Well, no, you now have the ability to walk out of your present. That's right. And then we thank God didn't do a miracle. Not understanding what the miracle is, His presence is now with you. You can pull this thing off. We just got too many self-made men and self-made women. Bless God, I got everything I did by myself. You know what I'm saying. We must show the enemy it will endure. Now, this endurance is important, Matthew 24. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I showed you last week that terminology there is you're an overcomer or you're a winner. So that grain of corn, when it agrees that God put life in it so it would sprout, nobody can see it, nobody knows how it works, just know that it's there, seed agrees with it, it sprouts up, and it grows, it overcomes its obstacles of the shell, of the ground, and it comes through. What happens? It's an overcomer of its obstacles up to that point that it might grow and mature. I also showed you last week, What makes that little seedling strong enough to get through the inch and a half of ground is because it had to fight so hard to get out of the shell. That kept the seedling from coming through too quickly, and it would be too weak to get through. The obstacle is the strength for the next level. I showed you the butterfly. If a butterfly could be a cocoon, I showed you how scientists would help the butterflies out. They were just about out, and they thought, well, they need a little help them out, and then they couldn't fly. The reason they couldn't fly is because somebody helped them out, and they didn't have the strength that they needed to fly. Now, some of you in here are waiting for everybody in the world to help you out of where you're at. You better quit it. It's between you and God. You better endure, punch yourself on out of your cocoon, and you're going to fly on your own. Trust me, when you die and leave here, there ain't nobody going with you. Same thing. Life and death is the same experience with God. You and God. Can I move on? Okay. The word endure, what does it mean? It means to suffer something painful or difficult. Patiently. I tried to find a definition without that last word, and every one of them had it. So we'll just have to deal with it, I guess. Because patiently is the place that we fail. Here's an example. It seemed impossible that anyone could suffer and endure such pain. God is getting every one of us. We got a big birthday coming up. It's with what man calls death. Everybody sitting in here is going to have the same birthday. Anybody want me to get off this subject? Everybody in here is going to die. 100 years from now, be a completely different crowd on the planet. If you stayed longer, you wouldn't know nobody. Everybody's gone. Everybody's got the same birthday with death. God is taking you through this life for that grand and glorious day that you leave this tabernacle and that you enter into His full presence. God has your expected end in mind and everything that happens to you on this earth. Now, you can like it or not like it. I'm telling you the truth. Hold it against me or not against me. I do care, but I don't really care because it's the truth. I keep talking with people wrestling with all this stuff. I'm saying you got to get a hold of something. You've got to understand this life is between you and God. Enduring a cross is not failing. We take up our crosses, this pain, the suffering. We take it up and we follow Christ. It is impossible not to experience failing when enduring. Hit that a little bit last week. It is impossible. If you're enduring something, you are going to feel like you're failing. That's the way it works. God's presence is picking us up, for we are made strong when we are weak. So you're enduring, you feel like the longer you endure. Has anybody ever lifted weights? And towards the end of the rep, you're like, oh gosh, I just can't quite get there. I told you, I think also last week, that the greatest storm in life, the greatest battle in life you'll ever have is the last one right before you're set free of something. People think they get little less, little less, little less, little less. Tell it like you hear, I'm free. Uh-uh. It's not the way the spirit world works. They get greater and greater and greater and greater, and the last one is the worst battle. You pull out all stops, everything you got. You got to endure. You're saying, well, I might die, but I'm not. I'm right here. You're enduring. As you get weaker because of the endurance, God gets stronger. Anybody with me? You said you wanted God. I'm just telling you what you signed up for. That's all. Now, in life, it is the person that is willing to endure the suffering that wins. You have got to be willing to take the hits of life. No one's exempt. Don't receive the lie, I wish I had their life. They don't have problems like I do. Has nothing to do with having problems or not. Has everything to do with you enduring through yours and your needs. It's your opportunity, your personalized opportunity to invoke the presence of God in your life. Enduring and suffering equals the light of glory. Now, is that seed? Needing light is the next stage of the growth of the sprouting seed. So it endures and it goes through pain, suffering, it pushes through, goes through a dark place of the soil. It comes through the other side. Why? Because its next stage of growth is needing the light. So more light does not keep you from pain and suffering. No, Eric, y'all don't love me no more, I can tell. More light does not equal less pain and suffering. Have you not noticed it doesn't do the math? It doesn't add. Well, this great lady, saint of God's dying of cancer. You knowing the greatest saint you've ever met. Got more light than you'll ever hope to have. But yet in tremendous pain and suffering. I'll say it again. More light does not equal no pain and suffering. Pain and suffering is part of life to help us to our expected end. Well, I'm not getting any amens now. The good part is I'm not going to take up an offering anyhow. Next stage of growth of this seed is its need in the life. It comes through. What place does pain and suffering have in the life of a Christian? Let's look what the Scripture has to say. For to you it has been granted, for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to do what? Go ahead, you can say it. It won't bite you. Suffer for His sake. There again, I want you to understand, the lack of pain and suffering is not God's reward system. That's what we got up here. Well, I don't have no problem, so I'm following God. That's problems I have with prosperity teaching. It doesn't follow my math and my Bible. Do I think God can bless you? You better sock your socks off. Yes. But to think that God's reward system is if you got more light and you follow Him more than anybody else, you won't have any pains and problems. Pains and problems, then, is God's way of admonishing us. No. Most of the pains in our problems we self-produced. Why would God have to? Am I the only one? Only reason I'm so busy today is because I'm trying to fix my problems I created yesterday. So I don't get to live today for fixing all my cotton picking problems I did yesterday. Is that God's reward system because I follow Him? What I'm trying to is a prophetic people. I'm trying to get out of your system. The pains and problems is any type of a reward system of the spiritual world. Now, the dark side would like for you to believe it, but it's not true. There's more to the expected end than you think. Our big birthday is right when we leave this place and go into glory. It just so happens we can have a lot of good, neat stuff, spiritual encounters happening now. But you got to get rid of this religious spirit. The pain and problems is God's reward system for obedience and disobedience. The greatest saints in the Bible, the greatest people that's ever lived, died. Everyone that Jesus healed died. Am I for healing? Yes. We just have to get out of our brains that pain and suffering is God's reward system, because the exact opposite is the truth. So if you have that in your spiritual understanding, how are we going to get God's manifest presence in here if everybody's thinking, if you come with pains and problems, that we're going to think you're less spiritual, so therefore we're not going to do anything, so everybody thinks we're less spiritual, and we'll hurt the presence of God? God help us, somebody. When your problems and your needs is what draws Him. Does anybody get what I'm saying? I hope you are. See what else he said. Paul tells us that suffering is a gift that comes with salvation. Oh, we never looked at it like that. According to this verse, for whose sake do we suffer? For His sake. Now, you got to look at the first of that verse. To you it has been granted. It's like a gift. You've been granted something. What have you been granted? To suffer. Oh, well, that's not what I was thinking. I was thinking I was suffering because God wasn't happy with me. Pain and suffering has nothing to do with your relationship with God. It is not God's reward system nor punishment system. Church, we got to get this. We'll never get the manifest presence of God. You got to get it. That is not His reward. Let me tell you something. When Jesus went to the cross, it was complete. Finished work of Christ was complete. Finished work of Christ was complete. I'll go ahead and say it now. There's a book out now that you can go to the courts of heaven and you fight in the courts of heaven. You get this lawyer, you can get that lawyer, you can go to the court in heaven so you can get somebody set free. Baloney, somebody. That's a reproach against the cross of Jesus Christ. Don't have to go to no court in heaven. And I'll get emails over that statement right there. You don't have to go to no court. Court's done been had. It is finished. It's finished. It's finished. It's finished. You're not living a life to obtain. That's legalism. You're living a life to understand what you've been given. There's a difference. You don't have to do anything to be any more acceptable to God. You can't do stuff good enough, you can't do stuff bad enough to be acceptable to God. The reason we teach and study is so we can try to learn what we have in Christ Jesus. It's already been obtained. Now, I venture to say you've got more there in your bank account than you even understand. So that's the reason we study. We don't come in here to beat you over the head, to make you act better so you can obtain. I mean, who's ever going to bring their need to God with that kind of philosophy and theology? We come to God, and I've got to hush. I think y'all got it, didn't you? What draws the presence of God is the needs and the problems of people. I'm going to go more into suffering next week. It gets worse and better. I don't know if anybody will show up or not, but I'm telling you the truth. Gary and I think I need a hush if you'll sort of sing. Let me pray. If you would just stand, we're going to go into worship here. Listen, when we worship to God, let me say this, church. We entered right into that little arena last week of many waters, I call it. It's where you got to understand something. The presence of God is not in the worship team. The movement of the presence of God is in His people. And as we worshiping God, thanking Him for what He's done for us, we've brought Him our needs, we're going to bring Him more. Listen, it's God's fault. He said that's what draws Him. What drew Him out of heaven to the earth in the form of Jesus Christ was our need. It drew Him out of heaven to the earth, and it'll do it again, and again, and again, and again. So, Lord Jesus, be with us this day. Let all religious spirit be gone from this place. Let us have a pure heart of truth. We come before You as a needy people, needing a Heavenly Father to help us walk in Your ways. Forgive us of our sin. Bless us when we don't even deserve blessing, and grace that we might give it to others. Be with us this day, O God. Let us worship You in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.